This is Sick and Wrong, America's number one source for antisocial commentary, brought to you by the Reach Around Foundation.
Good evening. Welcome to Sick and Wrong, the world source for antisocial commentary. I'm one of your hosts, Dee Simon.
I'm your other host, Lance Wackerly.
How's it going there, Wackerly?
It's all right.
Dude, I feel like shit today. Seriously, I feel like ass.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to call you Dee Sniffles.
No, I kind of want to forewarn people right now that if I'm sniffling and snorting in the background, it's because I'm diseased right now. Not that I'm doing like crystal methamphetamine or something. You know how everyone always sees you with like a runny nose, or they see you like, you know, sniffling or whatever, they think you have some kind of drug problem?
Yeah, in the Bay Area especially. And usually that's a pretty good assumption.
Well, the thing is like everyone at my office has like SARS or something. Like everyone has been sick the past 2 weeks. And, you know, I've just been kind of like, you know, I usually don't get sick that easily. And then just today, the past couple days, I've just been just dripping mucus out of my nose all day today. I must have sneezed like 250 times.
It's because you work in an office, a big cubicle farm full of internet job, vegetarian little dweebs with no immune system.
No, it's sedentary germ bags. Yeah. Everyone just kind of sits there. They work long hours and they just spread disease. I think that's what we do.
Yeah.
I mean, I could just imagine how many people I contaminated today. And really, you know, if you're that sick, you should just go home.
Yeah, you should.
I should have. Well, I couldn't. I just had too much shit to do. So, I don't know.
So, next week, you're saying I'm going to sound like you?
Dude, yep, yeah, there's a good chance.
Awesome.
Well, it's podcast 41 right here. Podcast 41. And, yep, we're inching towards that podcast 50 landmark. But one thing we've been putting off for the past couple weeks is... this is Wackerly's baby here, is the Oakland murder statistics. I mean, we've done some sundry articles on this show with murders in Oakland. I mean, there's just so much violence happening in this city.
Well, and last week I did one in L.A.
But a lot of people email us and ask us, like, so is Oakland really that dangerous? You guys make it seem really dangerous. And so finally we're like, okay, well, let's just get the facts. Let's get the statistics and figure out how dangerous, how violent is Oakland compared to other U.S. cities?
Right.
So what'd you dig up here?
Well, I will claim responsibility for this if everybody thinks it's boring, but I find it interesting, and I think people who aren't from Oakland maybe will find it interesting.
What's the educational aspect of Sick and Wrong?
Yeah. And I'll warn you, Dee, that this information is from it's from 2003 and 2004, because that's the most recent I could find compiled into one place on the internet.
But what's the current murder rate, though? Because aren't we breaking records right now for this year, 2006?
Currently, we are at about it's hard to say because every day it goes up, but I think we're somewhere in the range of 125 to 135. Probably around 130, I would think.
So is that like a couple murders every other day?
Last year we had 100 or something or so for the entire year. The 2004, they only had 83. So we're already just blowing that out of the water by like 150% markup.
Well, it says aren't we on the rise right now? Like it's the highest it's been in like 10 years.
2004, it was 83, and now we're like at 125.
To ride that rocket.
I know.
Yeah.
But that's not really the important statistic, because Los Angeles in 2004, they had 518 murders.
LA had 518 in 2004?
But it's not a significant number unless you compare it to the number of people. LA is...
per capita.
Is gigantic compared to Oakland. So what I did is I boiled these numbers down to murders per 100,000 people in the police jurisdiction.
Okay.
So Oakland, California, in 2003, that number, we had 26.8, let's say. We don't have to be too accurate here.
No.
Murders per 100,000 people.
26.8.
Yeah, if you are in, you know, in a big concert or football game with 100,000 people in the stands, 28 of those people are going to die. 26.7. In 2004, it was 20.57. So I would guess that right now we're probably at, since we know we're at 130 or so, we're probably at 30 murders per 100,000 people.
And we still have a couple more months left of the year, so we might even beat that record.
If you do those same numbers for LA, 13.
13 right now?
Well, that was 2004, but it seems to say 2003 was 13.4, 2004 was 13.4. I think they've kind of leveled off their murder.
So what's the most violent city in the U.S.?
Well, that's
where's Oakland rank?
Well, New York, everybody always thinks is like kind of a scary place, right? They have seven.
Just seven
murders per 100,000 people.
Did you know I blame that on Giuliani for cleaning up that city?
Chicago, 15.
15.
But here's the kicker. So Oakland, we beat LA, we beat Chicago, we beat New York, but the dark horse, two dark horses, Detroit.
Oh, dude, there's no way we'd ever beat Detroit.
Yeah, but everybody always talks bad about Detroit like it's this hellhole, but I kind of just thought it was a ghost town at this point. But no, in fact, it is still a complete hellhole. Detroit, 42.11 murders per 100,000 people in 2004. Now, the super dark horse, the town that nobody ever talks about. I don't even think people from other countries know this city exists. Baltimore.
Baltimore?
Baltimore, Maryland.
Is that Maryland?
It's near Washington, D.C. D.C. doesn't have statistics on this page because it's sort of a weird city, right?
It's not even a city. Is it even part of the U.S.?
It's a city, but it doesn't have a state. It's its own thing.
Yeah, it's its own entity or something.
But I think maybe this is sort of related to D.C. They're the same area of the country. They're kind of sister cities.
How far is Baltimore from D.C.?
It's probably less than an hour.
Oh, okay.
They share a major airport. Baltimore had 43.5 murders per 100,000 people. The top of the cities that I looked at, the ones that I just mentioned.
So Baltimore beat Detroit and pretty much just slayed Oakland. Just slay Oakland completely.
They more than double our murders.
God, that's impressive.
If you watch, there's a show called The Wire. I'm not going to go into The Wire all that much, but it's all about crack dealing in Baltimore, and I think that's the driving factor, is crack dealing, gang warfare.
Is Marion Barry, remember the old crack smoking mayor from
he was
D.C.?
The mayor
was he
from D.C.
from okay, I wonder
Very
if he
well.
Was from Baltimore.
He probably went to Baltimore to buy his crack.
So Baltimore is the most violent city in the U.S., well, back in 2004, but probably still is the
I'm
reigning
sure
champion
still
right
is.
Now.
I mean, from what I can see, like I said, I didn't have statistics for D.C. I didn't get Vegas. I don't think Vegas would be that high.
No, I don't even think there's that many people there.
Where else?
Yeah.
Those were the cities I looked at. So we're third.
We're
down.
Number three.
We're number three by far. We're not even close to the top two.
You know, I really don't.
We got a lot of catching up to do.
I'm surprised about Baltimore because I really had no idea Baltimore is that violent. I've never been there.
About Baltimore.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I really don't know anything about that city.
Well, what's his name? It's for John Waters is from Baltimore. So a lot of those John Waters. Is that his name?
Yeah, John Waters that did Pink Flamingos.
Yeah, that guy. A lot of his movies are set in Baltimore because he's from there. That's all I know about it.
Yeah, I really don't. I mean, it doesn't surprise me, though, that Detroit is that violent. I mean, Jesus, Detroit's been, like, probably one of the most violent cities for, I don't know, what, the past 20 years?
I guess, yeah. I guess I've just been away from Michigan for too long, and I just forgot what a scary shithole it is.
You know what city you probably should have included is that, or two, Miami and New Orleans.
Yeah, it's a good point.
I always thought New Orleans was supposed to be, like, one of the most dangerous cities.
I'll have to do a follow-up next week. I can get that for you.
Especially after Hurricane Katrina. But your statistics even go further than just the murder rate. Don't you break it down by like male, female victims? Like, so just in terms of Oakland, I don't really want to go into the other two cities. But what's the male-female ratio here?
Well, just as you would expect, you know, 84% of the murders are male and the rest are female.
Why are females so nonviolent?
They're just not.
I know.
They're nurturing. They don't like try and club your head in.
See, that's what would suck. If Hillary Clinton was president, there would be no wars. I mean, think how boring the news would be.
Okay, John Lennon.
No, you know, I'm just saying. It's like, you know, you vote for a female president, boring.
Yeah, but when Margaret Thatcher was
no,
the
no
prime
invasion,
minister.
No invasion, no occupations.
Wasn't Margaret Thatcher a big, like, you know, war hawk bitch?
I don't think she was occupying Iraq back then, was she?
What about the Falklands?
Oh, yeah. That was Thatcher, wasn't it?
I don't know. I don't even know what the Falklands are.
No, I think she had a penis, though, so I don't know if that counts.
Doesn't count. She's a tranny.
At least she looked like it. But so 84% male, that's actually not that big of a surprise.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
There's some other. I can put the rest of the breakdowns on the internet. 75% of these murders are committed with a gun. 6% knife. 19.3% other weapons.
Other weapons?
Those are the interesting ones, I'm sure.
Baseball bat.
Just run over with a car.
Morning star.
Torched behind in a parking lot.
Yeah, I'm sure that other happens weapon. Frequently. 19% though. Wow, that's weird.
Yeah, garrote.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it'd be interesting to see also, I bet you like what, like 90% are gang related? Because in Oakland, there's a lot of gangs.
Yeah,
I'm sure in Detroit,
there's
a lot of gangs.
Yeah, it looks like about 70% are between the ages of 18 and 35, so you would think that's...
And I'm sure a high percentage had to do with a crack deal or two.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
Like drug-related offenses?
Heroin, crack.
Yeah. Well, maybe we should put a link to the statistics on the Sick and Wrong page, but there to satisfy your curiosity here, Oakland, number 3. So the third most violent city.
I feel like Mr. Wizard...
Yeah, no, dude. Just
dropping the science.
Just sharing
statistics.
The knowledge here. You know, I wonder how we compare to like other countries, like other the capitals of other countries, you know?
Yeah, I'm over the research, though.
So. Yeah.
If somebody else wants to send that in, that's cool.
I'm sure Darfur is beating us.
Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe Baghdad.
Genocide seems to bump up your numbers.
Doesn't really count. Well, let's move on here. Podcast 41. Real quick, I wanted to get to some statistics here on our own site. As you know, we made a vote. I think we put up a voting system. We're so democratic here on Sick and Wrong. About people were saying, we want the MP3. Other people were saying, we want the M4A file with the pictures. And that's a relatively new phenomenon here on Sick and Wrong. We just started adding pictures to the podcast. But I believe you can only view those pictures either in QuickTime or on iTunes or with your iPod,
right?
So a lot of people with other MP3 players are saying, hey, you know, we want the MP3
right.
Format back. So we're going to leave the voting open for another week. And then Podcast 42 will decide whether to continue using the M4A with pictures. So keep voting, sickandwrongpodcast.com. Also, a new thing that we're doing now is we have the listener. Listeners have been sending in articles, so we figured we'd open up the competition to myself, Wackerly, and a listener.
We're going to have a weekly three-way is what you're saying.
And it's like a weekly menage a trois. So let's see. Last week, I think I did, I don't even remember. What was my story is about the one-armed Scottish whore.
Yeah, she got her arm ripped off.
Wackerly did a story about a three-year-old being shot, and a listener sent in a story about a dog being hung by his roommate. And surprisingly, that listener got a lot of votes.
Did
he almost
beat
you. No, I won.
Oh,
2 weeks in a row there, so I'm enjoying my MGD. But so I got 47 votes. Wackerly came in with 38, and the listener got 36 votes. You know, with the new voting procedure on the website, we've been getting a lot more votes now.
If one of us gets beat by the listener, we should have to do something humiliating.
Possibly. You know what I think we should do is get like a Sick and Wrong douche, like a Sick and Wrong monogram douche, and send it to him. It's like the douche award.
Where do you get something like that?
I don't know. I'm sure there's places that make those, don't you think?
Yeah, I'm sure.
We just get like a little, maybe just get a Sick and Wrong sticker, stick it on a douche and send it to them.
That would work.
It's like a little keepsake or something.
Yeah. You gotta buy the douche, though.
So this week for Podcast 41, another listener sent in a pretty good article. So I say we let the games begin. I believe last week I started it. So yeah, Wackerly, I think I'm going to pass the mic over to you.
All right.
Here at Podcast 41.
Well, it's interesting that you asked me to go get the New Orleans death statistics. I should have, because my story is about a couple of New Orleans deaths.
Oh, recent deaths in New Orleans.
Recent deaths in New Orleans. Thursday, 18th
of October. It's a violent city, I'm telling you.
Yeah, Zachary Bowen jumped out of his 8th-story hotel room balcony, landed on the parking garage below. I don't think he ruined anybody's car, which is nice. Aim for the
good.
Open space.
Just fell just right on the concrete?
Yeah, I think it happened at 8:30 p.m. Somebody saw him. Actually, there was a camera that happened to be pointing at the balcony, and you can see in the camera he sort of walks up to the edge, walks back, walks up, hesitating. 5 or 6 times, then he,
ooh,
you know, takes the final dive.
And you know they should post those videos.
They really should
on somewhere online. I'm sure they will.
I mean, just to honor him.
Yeah, you
as
know,
a service to his family, they should post them on the internet.
Or his family at least should put on his MySpace page.
But that's not really the most important, interesting part of the story. Because apparently Zach Bowen's descent into darkness began more than 2 weeks ago, police and associates said, when he murdered his girlfriend. Two weeks ago. His girlfriend's 30-year-old.
The story unfolds.
His girlfriend is 30-year-old Addie Hall. He strangled her in their one-bedroom apartment over a French Quarter voodoo shop.
Dude, I wonder, do you think, do you think maybe he, like, became evil because they're living above a voodoo shop?
No, I think when they say voodoo shop, it's, like, shitty tourist trinket store like you'd find in Fisherman's Wharf in San Francisco.
Didn't you ever see that movie with Robert De Niro and Lisa Bonet where she gets naked?
Angel Heart.
Did that have to do with voodoo, Santeria or something, and that took place in Louisiana?
The only thing I really remember from that is just vigorously masturbating to Lisa Bonet being naked.
Oh, dude, I remember how excited I was because she was so hot on the Cosby Show.
It's like a blood orgy scene too, isn't it? They have sex and there's just blood spraying everywhere.
Did she have sex with De Niro? Or no?
No, it's with Mickey Rourke.
With Mickey Rourke, yeah.
Disgusting.
God, that guy gets all the ass.
He's just gross, though.
He is.
Anyway. So they lived above a voodoo shop. I don't think it had anything to do with him strangling her.
But maybe it did.
Yeah. He left a suicide note explaining this whole thing. And part of the suicide note, I should probably mention that this was a Katrina-inspired love affair.
The
appropriate outcome that would entail.
So what do you mean? Like they met?
They met and first hooked up the night that Katrina hit New Orleans.
Wow, so it was like fated. So they met. So it seems like it makes sense that they'd have a tempestuous love.
Well, listen to Bowen's some excerpts from Bowen's suicide note here. In the suicide note, he confessed that for almost 2 weeks after the killing, he lived with the corpse of the woman who had repeatedly proclaimed her love for him.
So hold on one second. Did the police find out about the murder through the suicide note?
Exactly.
So he committed suicide. They found a note like in his apartment.
He was living it up in a hotel room. I'll get to that later.
Okay.
But in the note, he confessed that he strangled this woman who was in love with him. They were, these star-crossed lovers, apparently. Sometimes you get a choke a bitch, though. In those final
she
days,
steps out of line.
When he was living with the corpse, driven by an accelerating madness, underpinned by unrelenting fury and self-loathing that he did this, he dismembered her corpse, ooh, baking her limbs in the oven, and cooking her head in a pot on the stove.
Dude, this guy was all into voodoo.
That's how the cops found her when they went to the apartment.
So wait, she was baking in the oven like in a cake? Did he make her into a cake or something?
I think he remembered to turn the oven off before he left the apartment, but her cooked limbs were still in there, and her head was in the pot that it was boiled in.
He was boiling her. What the hell? I mean, is that any way to dismantle a corpse?
I guess he's not a serial killer. He's just a, whatever you call that.
Yeah, it's passion. a crime of passion here.
But it seems to be what you could do if you have a corpse and you're bored, you boil the head.
I always thought you were supposed to put like lime on it or lye or whatever that is.
Well, couldn't you boil it first?
I guess. I mean, I don't know. Dude, I swear to God, this guy was into voodoo.
Here's some direct quotes from the suicide note. This is not accidental. I had to take my own life to pay for the one I took. If you send a patrol car to blah, 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 my apartment, you will find the dismembered corpse of my girlfriend, Addie, in the oven, on the stove, and in the fridge, along with full documentation on the both of us and full signed confession from myself,
conscientious.
Zach Bowen.
Nice.
He says, I scared myself not by the action of calmly strangling the woman I'd loved for 1.5 years and then decimating her body. This is very florid language. But by my entire lack of remorse. Well, apparently he did have remorse.
He killed himself, so.
He decided to quit. I decided to quit my job and spend the $1,500 cash I had. Daddy Warbucks. Being happy until I killed myself. So that's what I did. Good food, good drugs, good strippers, good friends. And apparently he put himself up in a hotel, because you can't have a really good time when your girlfriend's boiled head is staring at you every time you go to get a beer.
If you're going to go out, you might as well do it that way.
Yeah, so, he lived it up on his $1,500.
Beats and then, life in prison.
Jumped out of the hotel balcony onto the parking structure.
So he was just, bothered by all this guilt. And then ended up committing suicide.
Well, that, the cops haven't
snuffing it.
The cops haven't released a full suicide note yet. Just those couple of quotes I just recited. But I'm interested to know what the argument was about. Do you think they were just all drugged up and irritable, and something just set them off?
You know, as a matter of fact, I almost chose this article. I wanted to. I figured you're going to be all over this one, though.
Dude, I called it.
I know. I figured you claimed it. But in a story that I read, it sounded like they had met and fell in love, started living together, which I always found is a big mistake. If you move in with your girlfriend within a month, you're going to end up probably dismembering her corpse.
Boiling her head.
Yeah. You know, it's just no good's going to come from that. But they were always in different battles and spats. Like, I guess they both, like, he worked at a bar or something like that.
Hell
and,
yeah.
And so she would come hang out in the bar, and they would just get into fights left and right. And it was something along the lines of she found him cheating on her and was trying to kick him out of the house.
Well, that kind of annoys me. I always hate it when you go to a bar, and usually it's a girl bartending, and then her boyfriend is sitting down at the end of the bar. And, like, you can never fucking get served because they're either fighting or they're making out. Or, you know, she's catering only to his friends.
And no, it's like when a bartender's significant other's in there, it's always a distraction.
And plus, that bartender is not going to get a good tip with me if I'm not under the false impression that I'm going to get some ass from her. And
yeah.
If her boyfriend's there, that false impression is wiped out.
It's completely shattered. Definitely. But I guess they got into fights, like, you know, all the time. But I guess that's not uncommon in most relationships. But theirs was particularly turbulent. But who would have, you know, I think everyone was surprised, though, at the outcome.
Yeah, nobody expected it. I saw pictures of them. They're both, you know, like, attractive, young, 30-something people.
It's like 30-something. I wonder, you know, I just wonder, like, what he was planning on doing with the corpse.
Nothing. That's why he killed himself.
So he just left it in there and was
just
like, you
like,
know what?
I don't know what to do with this
Fuck
shit.
It.
I'm just going to kill myself.
God, dude, that's pretty foul. Yeah, I don't know. On the sick and wrong scale, that involves mutilation of corpse, murder.
Moving in with your girlfriend. Always,
suicide.
Always sick, wrong, always
which,
wrong.
Which leads to suicide. I'm going to have to give that pretty high. How about 8.8?
Dude, that is bullshit. This is at least a 9.2.
9.3 on what basis?
That there's boiling of a head.
Yeah, I guess there is boiling of a head in there.
Anytime a corpse is dismembered and cooked in any manner, it's above a 9.
Yeah. Okay. I'm raising mine to a 9.1.
Sucker.
Yeah. Well,
All right, what do you got?
Well, let's see. I don't know if my story compares, but I'd like to think that I'm going to beat you like Paul McCartney beats his amputee wife.
All right, dude.
I'm not going to get into that, but I do find that really funny. Because, you know, people think, you know, they're going through this divorce and people are like, oh, yeah, Heather Mills, blah, blah, blah. She's an amputee. She's missing a leg. And you know Paul McCartney gets drunk and just beats the crap out of her.
I do not want to talk about this story until there's more information. But if you look at pictures, she's big. She's bigger than him. I don't care if she doesn't have a leg, dude.
And she has a prosthetic.
If she had it coming, she deserved it.
Yeah, I don't know. But anyways, I'd like to think that I'm going to beat you like McCartney. My story took place in Brooklyn, so it's an East Coast story here, and it involves also bodily mutilation here, dismantling bodies. So right now there's a trial going on with some people that work for a funeral home. They call them cadaver cutters. And so this happened in Brooklyn. Cadaver cutter Lee Crucheta shows how big jars were that contained human skin. He said he earned $185,000 a year cutting up remains and harvesting body parts. It took Lee and his cohorts 45 minutes to take out the bones, then another 15 minutes for the skin, arms, and belly, according to a key figure in the Brooklyn-based body-snatching case. So right now, this guy is on trial with his three associates for body-snatching.
Who are they selling this stuff to?
See, that's interesting. There's a huge transplant movement going on right now. Body transplant.
I thought you had to get those organs right when the person died, like at the accident scene.
No, well, what they do is they're what he's getting, and I'm going to get to this in a second. He's harvesting the skin and the bones that will go into surgery and the skins for burn victims and stuff like that.
Jesus.
So all these organ transplant companies have been buying this stuff, and I guess this is kind of black market, because what happened is if you donate your body, then they can take all your organs and whatever, take your remains.
Right, organ donor.
But these people never actually signed any permission slips, so they were just kind of illegally harvesting these bodies, which I do love that term. So as new charges in the gruesome case loom, the Daily News here, where I got the story from, got an unprecedented look at shocking new details. So Lee, under oath here, was saying that we wore surgical gowns and caps. Lee is a cutter for the ring allegedly headed by ex-dentist Michael Mastromarino.
Dude, you hate dentists, don't you?
Dude, especially now. Well, we worked on embalming tables. Some were stainless steel. Others were just old porcelain. With matter-of-fact attachment, Crucetta noted that he and his fellow ghouls, I love how they keep using that term in this article.
Is this from the New York Post or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're so busy, they often ate lunch or dinner in the dissecting room. Which kind of cracks me up. Like, I wonder if that's common with morticians. Like, it's like, dude, you know, I got like six bodies piling up here. I'm just going to have to eat my Big Mac at the table.
Or if there's like a prankster guy in there and he'll like put a layer of dead skin on your sandwich and then tell you after you've eaten half of it.
You're like, you dick. I could see you doing that, Wackerly.
Turkey's extra salty.
But I also wonder, like, well, I wonder what they're eating. Do you think they're eating like Chinese food? Or manicotti?
Mushu eyeball.
Yeah. So they did six or seven extractions a day. It would take 45 minutes to take out the bones, another 15 for the skin, the upper arm, lower arm, thigh, abdominal area, and more. Body parts were passed to an assistant who worked the back table, putting them in sterile bags and then coolers for transport. It's like a meth lab in here.
Is this after the funeral? I don't understand.
No, this is before the funeral.
What do they put in the casket?
No, I'm getting to that.
Sorry.
So the skin would be put in jars. A whole person's skin would fit in two jars about 16 inches, like 16 inches tall. Spines and large veins were removed. Later, the bodies, particularly those slated for open coffins, were filled with plumber's PVC pipe and then sewn together. So they would just pretty much take off, like, all the, you know, they would take out all the organs, take out all the bones, and then just kind of stuff you full of PVC and tubing. But you know,
I would think old newspapers or sawdust would look more realistic. But then again, I'm not a body cutter, corpse cutter.
But you know, I wonder, like, who would really notice anyways? But
those
who knows?
Crazy people who like lean in and hug the corpse
and then like poke
funeral.
It and be
yeah.
like, why is he making a styrofoam like noise?
Yeah,
it's like bubble wrap.
Yeah,
he's like
peanuts,
popping,
packing peanuts.
Yeah. So Crucetta was 33 years old, and he said the job was a financial windfall for him. He said he went from earning $50,000 a year as a nurse to making $185,000 a year as a body cutter.
Wow.
So, yeah, he became
lucrative.
A player, dude. You could just tell this guy probably got into drugs, bitches,
I bet you just
fancy cars.
Massive gold rings on his hands.
Hanging with P. Diddy. No, you know, he probably did. So, they were indicted earlier this year on 122 counts of body stealing, grand larceny, forgery, racketeering, and other charges. According to the indictment, more than 1,000 corpses were harvested from area funeral homes without permission from the next of kin. There are no consent forms, and medical histories were forged, concealing disease and substance abuse. So a lot of these organs that were sent to these different transplant places, you know, came from people who were diseased.
Yeah, that
which,
sucks.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's just kind of foul. So his lawyers are claiming that he's 100% innocent. He said, in retrospect, this is what his lawyer said, in retrospect, my client, was he naive? Yes. Was he dumb? Probably. Is he a criminal? I think not. He's more like a mechanic, basically.
A recycler.
Yeah. So the scheme harvested corpses at funeral homes for bones, skin, cardiac valves, and other body parts for sale into the burgeoning transplant business. The skin was sold in sheets and went to burn victims. Heart valves, veins, and arteries went to cardiac patients. Bone, tendons, and ligaments were sold for dental implants and orthopedic procedures, which is just kind of foul.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think about it, more than 10,000 people in the U.S., Canada, and the U.K. received these body parts. And, you know, it's funny to me because I was thinking, like, you know, who gets body parts? Why would you ever need body parts? But then just recently, a good friend of ours, Big Jer, dislocated his shoulder. And I guess what he did is he fractured the ball and the ball and socket of his shoulder.
Right.
And they said they might need to replace the ball with the with bone fragments from a cadaver.
Yeah.
So
I still am watching out for Big Jer because I think the next time I see him, he's going to have some like criminal arm and it's going to reach out to choke me because it's going to be like the spirit of the shoulder guy, the dead guy.
Well, you remember that movie, Body Parts?
Vaguely. Isn't that's probably where happened? I got the idea.
Yeah, it's like he got an evil arm attached to his body.
Yeah.
It's like Bob Dole. Didn't Bob Dole like lose his arm or something, or is an evil arm?
I think it was just evil to begin with.
Yeah, something like that.
Maybe they replaced it with a good person's arm and it sort of calmed him down a little bit.
But he's still evil. So funeral home directors in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania were paid $1,000 per corpse. The parts from each corpse netted the operation as much as 20 grand. So they would get 20 grand per corpse. And I mean, think of it. They were doing over 1,000 corpses, you know, a year. So the bones, tibia, fibia, femur, humerus, radia, and ulna went for 5 grand. Pelvis, tendons, ligaments, another 5 grand. Skin, another $5,000. Spines, veins, valves, you're already up to 20. So as you can see, this is a quote, we were making some good money.
Hard to say no to that.
It's just kind of nasty. You were saying that they had refrigerators and two big freezers, and you could fit parts from 10 to 12 bodies in each of these freezers. He said, most places we work, most of the funeral homes were in low-income areas. And I thought the funeral directors gave the families some sort of financial incentive to donate.
Bullshit. Fucking liar.
Like a discount on cremation or maybe a free casket. It's
yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah,
what a liar.
That.
Yeah, I don't know. Another guy, one of his associates, said he had been under pressure from an organized crime figures. But authorities could not substantiate those claims, which it actually kind of cracks me up, too. You know, the mob's really branching out now. It's like they used to just be in waste management. Now it's just like, let's get into the corpse industry here.
I think this guy's defense should be, Your Honor, I just really like money. And I was making 185 grand off this. And what can I say? I couldn't say no.
Well, they all claim that they're completely innocent. They claim that they weren't breaking any laws. Because they thought that they, you know, these bodies were being donated to them.
Yeah.
Or were giving an incentive.
Yeah, I'm sure they thought that. They just keep coming through the door.
So in summation, the reason I find this sick and wrong is just the fact that it was deceitful. And second of all, just the plaintive, like, matter-of-fact tone the dude uses to discuss this. He's like, yeah, you know, we were just harvesting corpses, cutting off skin, removing spine ligaments, stuffing them into jars. It's like instead of drug peddling, they're corpse peddling.
Right. I'm sure you get desensitized to it very quickly.
I know. It's just weird to me to think that it's like, you know, you run an organ transplant business. You're like, yeah, I got to go meet with my supplier.
So do you think there's people who died who are Christian or whatever and believe in this stuff? So and they, you know, they die. Their body's intact. They all of a sudden appear in heaven and they look down and they don't have any skin or anything. They're just kind of like,
they're just stuffed full of sawdust.
A face.
Yeah, you know, I don't
just
know.
A head.
I don't know.
What the fuck, man?
So on the sick and wrong scale, I guess they weren't murdering people, but they were harvesting corpses here. I'm going to have to give that just in terms of the creativity here, the creativity scale, the originality of this article. I'm going to have to give it an 8.5.
Yeah, I think these guys should have hooked up with those grannies who were,
killing the homeless people.
Yeah, killing the homeless people, because the grannies' revenue stream was from the insurance policy. They could have gotten an added revenue stream from all the bits and pieces.
And those corpses were fresh, probably.
Right, well, they could have coordinated delivery.
Yeah, they could have done something.
I'm going to give it a 8.8.
8.8, ooh, yeah. That's kind of high.
Just because of the volume that they are doing.
And you know,
this isn't like a guy who sold 3 corpses. It was just a shitload, right?
You know, I wonder if the dude was bragging about it, like if he was picking up chicks, being like, "Yeah, so what do you do for a living?" I'm in the corpse harvest industry.
I wouldn't put it past him, but I don't think it probably would work very well with the ladies.
I don't know. I'll put a picture on the website. The guy looks like a real Goomba. Seriously.
That's racist.
Okay, all right. I'm in a Guido. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, well, moving on here. The third article, which is sent in from a listener named Brad, who seems to be a big fan of ours. He sends
good
in.
To hear.
Yeah, he always votes consistently and sends in several articles a week. So We received, it's funny, because now that we've started doing this, we only in one podcast, like podcast 40, do we receive like 10 articles. So it's kind of hard to make the decision as to which one we should do on the show. But I think this one took the cake. This one far surpassed the other articles. So this came in from Brad. Developmentally disabled man sodomized at bowling alley. Isn't that a great headline?
Yeah, I'm a little scared.
So this also happened on the East Coast, Shirley, New York. Two youths followed a developmentally disabled maintenance man, i.e. TARD, into the bathroom of the bowling alley where he worked and sexually abused him with a plumbing snake.
Wait, how old were the perpetrators?
It says here that they were 17 and 19.
Oh, those kids.
Yeah, kids today.
So they can't take the boy out of the kid. No. Nope. Something like that.
They seriously injured him. I don't know, wayward youths. Seriously. So the 21-year-old worker who was developmentally disabled who worked at AMF Bowling Center, Shirley Lanes, was held down by one of the youths and sodomized with the plumbing tool by the other in the Sunday night attack. The youths forced the plumbing snake, which, have you ever seen those things? You ever had your toilet plunged by one of those?
I've seen them, yes. I used to do that in college.
You used to plumb toilet? You used to like actually have to go and remove clogs from toilets with a snake?
Yeah, yeah. Let's not speak of it. It was not a good time.
I had no idea. How long are those things? It's like 10 feet long, aren't they?
It depends. Some of them are longer than others, but some of them come on a big spool. You can actually just reel it out. Some of them are only like 5 or 6 feet long.
It sounds like they had the one where you could actually reel, because the youth forced the plumbing snake, which is used to unclog drains, into the worker's rectum and spun it several times, causing him severe pain, internal injury, and bleeding. Police said the worker was sadistically assaulted. Not only sexually, just sadistically assaulted. So the two youths, Stephen...
It wasn't tender and loving. No. Sexual sodomy.
This was sadistic. The two youths, Stephen Rodriguez and Michael Lunsford here, 19 and 17 respectively, were arrested this week and charged with aggravated sexual abuse. But what I don't understand is, who would they brag about this to? Like, why would you do this? Unless you were a sadist.
I have no clue.
I mean, obviously, kids usually do some, like, you know, rash stunt like this to brag about it,
to impress
rights.
Their friends.
But who are they going to impress? It's like, yeah, dude, we sodomized this retarded guy with a snake, with a plumber snake.
What?
Exactly. And what pisses me off about this is I feel some real sympathy for this retarded guy, because retarded people can't find too many jobs. And when I, and you know, it's a friend of mine once said that the best Taco Bell burrito he ever had was made by a retarded guy at a Taco Bell in mid-Michigan.
Yes, I've heard this theory before.
And my theory is that retarded people don't have that many jobs. So when they do actually get a job, they do a damn good job at it.
It's the pinnacle for them.
Exactly. That is their, you know, they're self-actualized when they reach the Taco Bell. They're not going to get any further than that because they're retarded. So
when
this
a retarded
dude,
person is making your burrito or mopping out the toilets at the bowling alley, they take as much pride in that as a brain surgeon does when he opens up your skull and is poking around in there.
Exactly. And so, like, you know, you go to this Taco Bell. I remember I went to this one in mid-Michigan. It actually was in Bay City, Michigan. And you'd get the best bean burrito because it was made with love. It was made with love by a retarded guy who loved his job. Whereas, like, you go to a Taco Bell in, you know, in Oakland, and it's like, what, you get that ghetto burrito.
Right.
You know, it's like people just don't even care because they're like, whatever, dude, this job sucks.
Yeah.
But retards can't, you know, retards don't have the mental capacity to realize how bad it sucks. So when there's fuckheads like these two youths sodomizing retards at bowling alleys, thus, he's preventing me from getting a good burrito. That's all I have to say about that.
Yeah. Okay.
But what I'm saying is just like, it's unfair. Leave the retards alone.
You can make fun of them.
Yeah, go right
but
ahead.
But don't sodomize.
But just please, don't sodomize
Let
the
them
retards.
Do their jobs. That's all we're saying.
Exactly. So they're both arraigned this Thursday morning, and they're both being held in prison right
I
now.
I wonder what they're telling the judge to mitigate their circumstances.
Yeah, I don't even know what type of defense that they're going to use. So on the sick and wrong scale, since I personally have some deep convictions about this, I'm going to have to give this at least an 8.6. It's high.
Nobody died.
He wasn't sodomized with, like, you know, a penis. He wasn't sodomized. It was
I don't think
creativity.
That matters.
Dude, the plumber snake.
Yeah,
you know,
you're
how many,
right.
How many times has that happened?
All right, I'll give it an 8.7.
All right, but we invite you to vote, the listening audience. SickAndWrongPodcast.com. Just scroll down, and we have a new voting system in place. See who decides who wins this week for Podcast 41.
There's also a new button that allows you to vote for our show on Podcast Alley, which is like 50% bigger than the old button.
Oh, right underneath it.
Yeah. So you guys should go and click there if you couldn't see the button before, or if you're having problems getting your mouse to aim for the button. It's bigger now, so it's easier to vote for the show.
So go vote right there, sickandwrongpodcast.com. Is it the guy who butchered his girlfriend in New Orleans? Is it my article, The Body Harvesters, or is it the article sent in from Brad here about the dude who sodomized some retards? Towards the end of the show, we usually discuss listener email, and I think we're running out of time, so I'm going to have to do this kind of quickly. But we received several emails. One in particular came from a guy who is a Canadian fan here of Sick and Wrong. He said he loves the show, looks forward to it every week. He has listened since we started, and he wishes we would podcast more often, maybe a midweek show as well.
No.
Dude, there's no way that would ever happen.
No.
Contrary to popular belief, we actually do have lives outside of the Sick and Wrong studio. Not much, but I do get laid. And the fact that I get laid prevents me from doing more than one podcast.
Doing one show a week is like playing hard to get. We're leaving you wanting more.
Yeah. Moving on here, we got another email that we've been putting off as well, which I just kind of want to go through because it's kind of funny. This came from Aaron in Ireland, sent it to us a couple weeks ago. So one of our common themes here on Sick and Wrong is we discuss trailer trash, white trash.
We haven't touched on it in a while, though, like 3 months or so.
Yeah, it's been a few podcasts. Yeah. But we talked about, in the past, we've spoken about like different terms for white trash throughout the world. And we got a pretty good response from people sending us articles from, you know, sending us terms from all over the world. So, this one came a little late, but it's always nice to revisit a popular topic. So this came from Aaron here in Ireland. He says he's originally from Canada, but he moved to Dublin a few years ago. He said Ireland's a mad place, pretty much the largest bunch of alcoholics ever, and a fairly fucked up place, but it's small, so there's not a lot of mad shit that's going on. So I don't think there's a lot of violence there. I don't think it ranks up there with Oakland or Detroit. But he did want to point out that the Pikies, gypsies, as they're referred to in the UK, who we had talked about in the past as being from the UK, are actually from Ireland. They're descendants from Ireland. So Pikies come from Ireland. So most of them are Irish. He said it's funny because in England they call white trash chavs, which we've discussed. In Scotland they call them Neds or Neddies. The Pikies are a totally different thing. They aren't just white trash, but they consider themselves to be a different race. So if you remember the movie Snatch, Brad Pitt.
Right.
He was that unintelligible Irish guy.
Yeah, you can't tell what the fuck he's saying.
Yeah, he was a Pikey. So he said in Ireland they call them travelers, which is the politically correct term. You see, in Ireland they have anti-discrimination laws to protect the travelers. They call them travelers because these people live in caravans and drive around the country, pulling up anywhere they want, setting up camp for a while. A caravan is much like a mobile home or a trailer that your Yankee white trash live in, except they are smaller and can be towed behind Toyota vans, which apparently is what all the travelers drive. It's funny because I was thinking about that. Most of the trailers in the U.S. don't have wheels. I don't think we can afford them.
No, what we would call a trailer here is something you put it up on, like a semi
cinder block
tractor trailer thing.
Yeah,
if you had to move it ever,
it is
movable, but it's you can't just turn the key and go.
I just don't think you can pull it with your bitchin' Camaro, your 1981 Camaro.
What he's saying we would call in the States, what he's talking about is a camper.
So, yeah, a camper, caravan. So he said most people in Ireland call the travelers either knackers or tinkers, which I've never heard that term. Nowadays, these tinkers, knackers, or travelers drive around till they find somewhere to stop, set up camp, go about fucking the place up, robbing anything they can get their hands on, from power tools to horses, turning the place into a complete garbage dump till they get sick of it, and then they fuck off to the next town. Most of the travelers can't read or write, don't have jobs, are all on welfare, don't pay any taxes, and live in large family groups, and all have the same family name, either Cash, Connors, or O'Donohue, or something along those lines. It's kind of funny. I wonder if Johnny Cash came from... you think Johnny Cash, you could trace that line? Yeah, maybe.
So, I think that Cash might be a fake name for Johnny Cash.
So Aaron claims that they actively marry their first cousins and arrange weddings with dowries consisting of horses and money, etc.
How do you have a horse if you're just driving around in a trailer? Where's the horse going?
I don't know. Maybe someone rides the horse alongside the trailer or something?
Maybe.
So if it leads me to believe there must be a lot of inbreeding going on here.
Well, yeah, first cousin marriage.
So you can kind of see the origin of the leprechaun. I bet you a lot of these people probably give birth to like 4-foot Irish, you know, birth defects.
Are you thinking of the leprechaun like in that horror movie, The Leprechaun?
Yeah, Leprechaun Goes to Space. You ever see it?
No.
Damn good movie. So they don't send their kids to school for the most part because they're always moving around. If they did go to school, they would usually get the shit kicked out of them for being knackers, which actually quite, you know, that happens in the U.S. as well. We tend to beat up some of the white trash, although the white trash are kind of tough.
Well, yeah. They band together.
Yeah.
There's a lot of clansmanship. Well, not clansmanship with a K, but just clannish behavior with a C.
So he mentions that the best part is they actually talk of themselves as if they are a different race. And they even have their own language called the Gammon. Not that you'd be able to understand them when they speak English. So you know what they kind of remind me of? Carnies. So in the U.S., we must differentiate trailer trash from carnies.
Because
yeah, carnies are white trash.
Travel around with the carnival.
Yeah. But, I mean, they're definitely white trash. I mean, they're all toothless and inbred.
Yeah, but you're kind of glad when the carnies come to town because they bring the carn with them. But
yeah,
it sounds like in Ireland, the whatever, the knackers come around and you see them drive into your town and you just say, oh, fuck.
I know. I don't want them here.
You're in for like 3 months of them just destroying your neighborhood.
But you know how the carnies, when they would come to Michigan, would have their own language? They'd sleep, you know, they'd stay with their own people.
Right.
And they would try to get you to come over and play the ring toss and be like, now, $2.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, I don't know what you just said, but
well,
that guy's speaking carny.
Plus their eyes are always looking off in two different directions and they're sort of yelling at you, but you don't really know if they're talking to you or not because they're looking in other directions.
Yeah, it's interesting. Finally, I want to end this here by saying that he mentions that when the knackers have funerals, the whole family will show up in whatever town the funeral is in, and you can have like 300 to 400 knackers show up for a funeral, and the town has to shut down. They get really drunk for funerals, and then there are always problems. And sometimes there's serious family grudges or tribal grudges between some of these knackers that dates back for generations. So sometimes when a family group shows up in some town, there's already a group of knackers from another family group camping near that town. Troubles flare up, and they have these huge gang fights with all sorts of weapons, slash hooks, chains, knives, and
What's
some
a
pretty
slash hook.
Yeah, I don't even know. I'm cool. Picturing, yeah, like a scythe or something. I don't know. They also
some
have a bare knuckle boxing.
Blade.
They also have a bare knuckle boxing championship every year called the King of the Knackers, and the winner gets £100,000. And
he's
crowned King of the Knackers for a year. Didn't they have something like that in Snatch as well?
I don't remember.
I just remember Brad Pitt was like a bare knuckle fighter. But yeah, I would totally go see that. Actually, as a matter of fact, I was thinking they should televise that or at least put up something online.
Pay per view.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be better than UFC.
Yeah, it would.
Definitely. Well, I'd like to thank Aaron for sending in this enlightening bit of information here.
Very comprehensive.
Yeah, very comprehensive. It's definitely one of the longer emails I think we've received in a while.
If I was a professor, I would give that essay an A.
I would give it a 9.9. Yeah. But thank you, Aaron, for sending that in. And people, we encourage all of you, to send us emails, cigarongpodcast@hotmail.com. Finally, we need to wrap up the show here. I believe last week, Podcast 41, I mentioned this band called the Amish Armada.
This is so, Podcast 41. Last week was 40.
40, yeah. I mentioned the band called the Amish Armada. So let's just close with one of their songs. I guess one of our listeners is a big fan of the band, so we might as well close with one of their songs.
I like them.
So until next week, smell you later. Bye. You're busy on the chair, but I'm busted up.